We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, I think everybody remembers or has watched pro football on Thanksgiving. That's been a staple for a long time. And a lot of these guys have watched the games, and I think it'd be special for them to play in a Thanksgiving Day game. And I think that they will be excited about it, hopefully come away with a victory.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome in. It's Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley out today, but in is former Houston Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III. And I am Sean Bajani. Cecil, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, brother. Happy to be back on the radio airways with you.
Yes.
I think it's been a long time since we've both been on here together, so I'm excited to indulging us today.
I feel like I need to reintroduce myself to like the city of Houston because I haven't been on the radio in like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months, maybe like three times in the last 9 months, however long this pandemic's been going on. But we can get caught up throughout the show. The most important thing is here, as I sit down and I turn on the text board, Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner got a text message question in for their show now, 11 minutes ago. That's how you know you're rolling pretty good. You're doing a good job. You've got something successful going on here. You're already getting texts in during the previous show. We might cover that Rockets question a little bit later on. I think they did something kind of that was kind of a big deal yesterday that we will talk plenty about today. We have a lot to get to, a lot of meat on the bone today. We want you to be a part of it. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. I'm Sean Bajani. He's Cecil Shorts III. Producing the show today is the man. He's always here, Tyler Milner, and doing a great job. Held my hand literally almost for about, the last 3 hours. I was like, Tyler, how do you do radio again? I haven't done it. It's been a very long time. So it's going to be an experience. We want to remind you right here, we are your source for Houston Texans news and sports insider access, exclusive interviews, Sports Radio 610, the Texans play here. And that's where we're going to start. We started the show today by playing you a cut from Romeo Crennel, who spoke with the media, I guess, around a couple hours ago now. And look, Texans Lions coming up on Thanksgiving. It's a big day already, but it's even bigger when the Houston Texans play on Thanksgiving. That's not something we get a lot of around these parts, Cecil. It doesn't happen every year. They're not the Detroit Lions. They're not the Dallas Cowboys. Right. They're not the Washington Redskins. The Texans, I think, have played probably on Thanksgiving three times, maybe four times in their history, if that.
I think the last time they played, wasn't that the famous Justin Forsett run when he was really down, but they didn't call him down, and he ended up running for like 60-yard touchdown?
Sounds familiar, yeah, sounds familiar. It sounds like a long time ago, Justin Forsett.
It does. And he actually has a funny tweet out that he's trying to come back and play and then trips over one of his kids' toys and is like, I'm done. I can't
steps
do it
on
no
a Lego.
More. I can't do it no more. I have no more juice at all. I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see them Thursday, man. And this, I call it prime time because everybody's watching, even though I'm not sure what the exact time the game is.
They're the first game, I believe. It's
11:30. The first game, but everybody's going to be tuned in. You know, everybody's going to be tuned in. And the exciting thing for me is let's see if we can build off last week, not just offensively because Deshaun's playing lights out, right, but defensively as well. Let's see if they can build off what they've done last week and start stopping the run, getting a little pressure on the quarterback, and let's see what happens.
Well, that's one of the many questions that I've got for you today in terms of where this Texans team goes now. And, you know, there's a lot of questions in terms of, you know, with what this current regime still needs to do with six games, including Thanksgiving Day, remaining on their schedule versus what the new regime, and we don't know how that's going to be built or what that's going to be comprised of. But there are plenty of questions, certainly. Just a little historical perspective for you about this Thanksgiving Day matchup with the Detroit Lions. Look, I think they've played every single year with the exception of like 6 years, and that was during World War II. On wow. Thanksgiving Day. So wow. this is their show. This is what they do. It's in their place. They've always got this to kind of, you know, circle that date on your calendar. You know where you're going to be on Thanksgiving Day if you're the Detroit Lions. There's a lot of historical elements to this game for them. But in terms of, you know, what it means for the Houston Texans, I think it's just what Romeo Crennel said, and I think coming off of a win, no matter how tumultuous this season has already been for the Houston Texans, whether it be in the front office, in the firing, obviously, of Bill O'Brien as GM and head coach, and, you know, the injuries and, you know, just all of the challenges that they've had to go through so far, coming off a win is coming off a win. And coming off a win against the New England Patriots, while it didn't boast the likes of both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady this time. I walked away from that win on Sunday, Cecil, thinking that that was the best win that I've seen this Texans team have. Probably, and I tweeted this out, I said 2 years. I'm going to one-up that. I'm going to go 3 years. To me, that was one of the most quality wow. wins that I've seen in the last 3 years by this team because, look, while their run game stunk, they played a complete game offensively because Deshaun was just lights out, and they got great production from the receivers that were healthy. The tight ends were great. The offensive line, patchwork as it was, they protected them, didn't allow any sacks, and defensively they made stops when they needed to, and special teams was not a glaring weakness. I mean, that was a big thing for me to go up against a Bill Belichick coach team and walk away with that kind of a victory.
In 3 years, really?
Yeah, you think about it, right? I mean, when I tweeted it out initially, I was like, well, you know, the Kansas City game last year, the regular season victory, that was really good. But you know what? They didn't play a great, great game. I mean, there were stretches in that game last year against Kansas City where, look, yes, they ended up going toe-to-toe and they ended up winning, but there were some really down moments in that game early on, especially where it's like, oh, boy, here we go again. This season maybe meant a little bit more for me to that victory this past weekend, just because of everything that had gone on, and it was against Bill Belichick.
I see what you're saying. For me, I'm just happy they beat somebody besides Jacksonville. I mean, when you only beat Jacksonville twice this year, it's not saying too much. But I agree with you. I think it was a big win. I'm hoping they can build off this. So what I'm seeing is. Not O'Brien, excuse me. He's not here no longer. But as far as Tim Kelly, he's getting more comfortable with Deshaun. I think he's opening things up. He's trying to see things in a different way. I know he's taking a lot of heat this year, just like everybody else in that organization right now. But what he is allowing or putting Deshaun in different situations, what he's doing with that thing is a big deal. And what we've seen Deshaun go off of, what, 366 yards or something crazy on Sunday. When he's able to just dial it up.
334, yeah.
34. When he's able to just dial it up and hit so many different guys. I mean, guys were making plays, whether it was Pharaoh Brown, whether it was Akins, whether it was Cobb in the end zone, whether it was, you know, Will Fuller, of course, or Cooks.
Yes.
When you can just find the open guy.
Man, Cooks was fired up Sunday,
that
too.
is a big deal. You know what I mean? And Cooks is really coming along.
Yeah,
he is really
so
coming along, man. And it was only a matter of time. They needed chemistry. It was only a matter of time, but man, when you can fire in all cylinders like that, I'm hoping. And defensively, they stopped the run. The Patriots the week before, Damien Harris and those guys, they were running they were toting that ball. That's how they won the previous game. So
yes,
come in and have an idea. We must stop the run, and they did that to a certain extent. It is a big deal.
And the Patriots historically have had a lot of success running and throwing the ball against the Houston Texans, no matter where they're playing. There's no doubt about that. Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for Clint Sterner in the show today. Hey, you mentioned Deshaun Watson spreading the ball out this past weekend, completed at least two passes to nine different players on Sunday. Three of those receivers amassed more than 80 yards. Brandon Cooks leading the way with 85 yards on four catches for him. We know the big day that he had. We know the big day that Will Fuller had. The Texans have been a different team with Will Fuller on the field healthy. This team, without Kenny Stills, without Randall Cobb the other day, both of those guys going down with injury, you kind of hang your head and you think, oh boy, we're in for a long one today. But it was guys all across the board stepping up. To me, that's what made that victory count even that much more against the Bill Belichick coach team in the New England Patriots. Without Tom Brady, with Cam Newton, and as much as Cam had to throw the ball, almost doing the Texans a favor and not using his body the way that we finally got a chance to see a little bit of more Deshaun Watson, what we want to see, him using his body to drag two people into the end zone, that kind of stuff. With Cam Newton not doing that, him airing the ball at, like, what, 42, 43 times, I feel like it was, that was a big game changer for me. And I think the Texans can build on that. How do you not when you beat Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots?
Well, I think, too, and we didn't talk about it, Laremy Tunsil didn't play as well. So when you can have that much success.
That and Titus passing, Howard ended up going out of injury. Yeah, and so you were down two tackles at one point.
That much success with, you know, patching up the offensive line, like you mentioned earlier, then some of your starting receivers not be able to play. That speaks a lot to your preparation, the guys behind, making sure they're ready to go. And then Deshaun just like, hey, whoever's in, I'm going to feed you if you're open. Like, you just get open and I'll find you. So that's a huge deal. Because, you know, coming into the game, Bill Belichick was all about, oh, one of the best tackles in the game is not going to play. We're going to attack that. But they did a great job of making sure, whether it was a tight end on that side. I think Roger did a decent job. But I think having a tight end on that side or a chip from the back or whatever the case may be, they did a really good job preparing and they should be able to build off
and
this.
And adjusting in game. And that's not something that, you know, any Bill O'Brien coach team could ever really boast about. In fact, it was the lack of adjustments in game. And I think that's what you saw the Texans do so well against the Patriots, which, you know, look, this is a 3-7 football team. They've got an opportunity to go up to Detroit on Thanksgiving Day and get another victory, improve to 4-7. Mm-hmm. And just looking at their remaining schedule, look, you can have a little bit of fun with it. But you're really stretching yourself if you're talking about this football team even getting back to 500 at season's end, much less above 500. At this point, Cecil, to me, it's about just getting better and finding out who can be a part of the future, who you need to convince that they can and they should be a part of the future with this organization. To me, with six games remaining on the regular season schedule, that's what this season becomes all about. Because I know if you're like me, in the second that you heard the rumors of J.J. Watt being traded before November 3rd, and you're still hearing, well, the Texans are going to trade J.J. Watt. Well, they've got this contract issue, that contract issue. Is Deshaun Watson really going to be happy here? Maybe not even three years ago, just coming off of a World Series celebration with the Houston Astros. And yes, we couldn't enjoy it for a day because Deshaun Watson ended up tearing his ACL the very next day. But you had a lot of promise with him when he came back healthy in 2018. You were still riding high with Houston sports. The Rockets just coming off of a 65-win season and pushing the Golden State Warriors to the brink and really should have gone to the NBA Finals and probably won a championship. We were at the highest of highs almost in Houston sports and maybe even talking about another golden age. You can't tell me that the undoing is going to happen just 3 years later and just let that happen. That's what the Houston Texans and really Cal McNair is charged with right now.
Really? For me, yes, bad year this year. But just a year ago, you were up 24-0 against the Chiefs, am I right?
Yeah, you were.
You were just a year ago, and it seems like.
But then the second half happened.
It seemed like it was forever, right? The second half happened, and then from there till now, it seems like what the heck is going on, right? But for me, in these last six games, yes, I want to see Kahale Warren play a little bit. But where the heck is he going to play at? Who is he going to play over right now? Not over Farrow, not over Akins or Fails for sure.
Right.
But I do think he needs to get some reps so they can know, okay, this third-round pick, this money we just gave this kid, is he worth it? Is he? Because in practice, they say like he looks a part, right?
Mm-hmm.
He walks around. He looks like he can be something. He's athletic.
That's all people
strong.
Talked about in training camp was how good this guy looks.
So,
you know?
Like, we need to see it on the field, and they need to make a decision, right? Because whoever the new GM and head coach coming in, whenever that time comes, they do need to, like, okay, is he worth keeping? Because we have three guys that are decent here, and who knows what can happen from there. Even like a guy like, you know, John Gennard that played last week, got a big sack against Cam Newton. The younger guys need to play more. I agree. But to me, I think they need to continue to try to win, right? So
yes.
How to sprinkle in them, like John Reed, getting in at some more nickel or some more corner. Figuring out a package for these younger guys to see, okay, can they play Kiki Coutee? Kiki QT needs to play more.
Yeah,
and he
100%.
Probably will with the injuries that's going on. I'm not sure what the injuries are, but he needs to play more so we can see, so the coaches can see, okay, what are the franchise, what are we working with?
Yes, aside from the narrative of, not the narrative, aside from the injuries, I mean, he's needed to play more in each of the last couple of seasons.
Yes,
there's no
sure.
doubt about that. He's finally gotten himself out of the doghouse with out Bill O'Brien here.
But you got to do it in a role because there's 6 games left, and maybe it's just the player in me. I always want to play to win, right? And you mentioned it's going to be tough. You're right. Because you got the Colts twice and you got the Tennessee. That's 3 games right there. It's going to be hard to win.
And as much as the Bears are struggling, they've lost 4 in a row. You got to go up to Chicago here in a couple of weeks and try to steal one up there.
Defense is great, and it's hard to win in Wrigley. Like, not that's all Wrigley. I'm so sorry. Soldier Field.
Yeah.
But Wrigley is on my bucket list. I need to go.
It is mine, too. He's Cecil Shorts III, former Texan wide receiver. I'm Sean Bajani in for Ron. The show Hughley and Clint Sterner today. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to be a part of it. Call or text. Insider access, exclusive interview, Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. Coming up next, Texans linebacker Terrell Adams echoed 2 of the most important things I think this team was lacking earlier this season when he spoke with the media yesterday. We'll let you hear from him next. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
We got to not give up 60-yard runs at the end of the game, Aaron. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and to be put it bluntly, is bullshit. My guys play hard, they battle, they're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave their everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. We lost the game 10-0. Yeah, you could say it's been 17-0. All right, but we expect to go out there and stop the run every time we do it. But to sit here and paint this narrative, there was a question asked to Romeo the other day about the accountability of the defense. Are they accountable? Hell yeah, they're accountable. Anybody that's worked for me, anything I've done in my entire life has been accountable. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign, okay? But these guys battle, they fight, they're doing everything they can to go out there and stop the run. And we're going to try to do it again this weekend.
Loved it, loved it, loved it. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III in for Ron the Show, Hughley, and Clint Sterner today. You know, before the season, Anthony Weaver was on, like, Texans All Access a time or two with Mark Vandermeer and or John Harris. And I listened to that interview and I said, man, I love listening to that guy talk football. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it for a long time. Okay. He kind of grabs you and he holds your attention. The season, look, it is what it is. It's been not good. Okay. It's been laughable at times. It's been frustrating. But I'm telling you, a couple of weeks ago when he had that press conference and he's pounding his fist on the table and he said that, that was going to do one or two things. One, that was going to be the unraveling, the undoing, or that was going to kind of light a fire under his guys, and that was going to rally the troops, so to speak. But most importantly, that was going to confirm the belief that a coach should always have and, you know, in his players. And that's exactly, to me, what that ended up doing, Cecil. That confirmed the belief that the coaches have in the players have in themselves. Look, and it proved itself against an opponent that has absolutely had your number with or without Tom Brady in your existence. So that was absolutely huge, huge for me. I play that rant because Terrell Adams, Texans linebacker, echoed 2 of the most important things that I think this team was lacking earlier this season when he spoke with the media yesterday. Here's his reaction to the Anthony Weaver rant.
It's just nice to see that, and of course, he's been doing it all year. Just to, he keep reiterating that he believes in us. He believes we're a great defense. He believes we got extreme ability. So for him to constantly believe that after the rough season we're having right now and just keep believing in us, which is helping us to kind of build that confidence and keep going out there putting our best foot forward, is really encouraging from him.
That's just like being a microphone piece to what's really going on in the Texans locker room to me to hear a statement like that. Cecil, look, you've been there. You've done that. You've been through some tumultuous times with teams before. What did you think of Weaver's rant and the reaction that the team had on and off the field this past week?
Because of his, you call it a rant, right? Because of the rant, the defense played better this week, flat out. Because he went to the media and stood up for what he'd been saying to these guys over and over again at practice behind the scenes. But for him to do it in front of everybody and to the media, it shows, especially in today's athlete, right? Because what's been going on with the DBs today for the Texans? What have they been doing? They've been tweeting back and forth and getting mad at people. Who's going, oh, this guy's not playing well, or this guy didn't play, or didn't come to the game because of whatever case may be. They've been going back and forth. But for your coach, the leader of the defense, to step up and say, hey, My guys are accountable. My guys have been playing their butts off. They've been preparing. They've been doing all this A, B, and C. That right there will have you run through a wall because you're like, he has my back. He's not just saying that. Because I've been a part of programs or I should say franchises where the coach will get up there and the team beating, he'll say one thing, and then the media, he'll say something else. Or in the media, he'll say one thing, and then your face, he'll say something else. You know what I mean? He won't back up what he says to you, per se. But he is backing up, and he's solid. Mm-hmm. There's no two flips to the coin here. It's he is who he is.
Yeah.
And when you got a guy like that, your players are going to play lights out for you. And that's the only reason. That's the main reason, I should say, that the defense came out and played better last week. Because they believed, you know, he got my back. We got to make sure we got his back.
Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for Ron, the show, Hughley, and Clint Sterner. There's a time and a place for these sort of things, though, right? I mean, you can't pound the table every single week. You can't, speak as strongly as he did in a press conference every single week, because sometimes I think that wears thin. Sometimes that's an old show. You know, you've been there, you've done that, you've seen it. It doesn't work. It stops its effectiveness. But after that, and in seeing the product this past Sunday, I question, where's that been all along? Where's that been from Anthony Weaver? Or was Bill O'Brien kind of the stranglehold piece around that to just kind of reel him in and prevent something like that from happening? Was Bill O'Brien really the linchpin there? Is now with Romeo Crennel, and Terrell Adams had some really cool things to say about Rack as well. We'll play them for you in just a moment. But is that galvanizing force of Romeo Crennel allowing his coaches now that much more freedom, the players that much more freedom?
Well, now you got nothing to lose. Like, you don't know who your head coach is going to be next year. You don't know who your GM is going to be next year. So for the coach, it's a weird position to be in, right? Because if you're a coach, you don't know your future. If you're a player, but if you're not a big-time player, you don't know your future, right? You're playing for your job. So now it's the great time. And Rack, who's a legend in the league, who everybody respects, he attacks the game, and his coaching style is different than how B.O.B. was. So he is more laid back. He'll get on you. He'll talk to you. He's more personable. But he is a type that's going to be able to bring the best out of you, and you can have fun again playing. Before, it didn't seem like they was having fun.
Right.
Before, it seemed like it was everybody was stressed out. Everybody was tense. You heard about arguments between B.O.B. and Weaver. Now, one thing about Weaver, I've never heard anything bad about him. It seemed like he's been the same guy. The same guy we seen in the media last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's been that same guy throughout the year. It's just now everybody else can see what type of man he's been behind closed doors.
Sure.
See what I mean? So then that's a big deal to a player, man. And to be honest, if they keep this up, the defense per se, if they can, when you go out and make a rant like that, right, that can hurt you. But when you go out there and your defense plays well after you do that, and that they respond well to you, and you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again, what does that say to the McNairs? Hey, this guy might need to be able to stay on this staff. Well, this guy might be able
to
lead this team or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying he should be a head coach candidate. I'm not saying he should be whatever. But what I am saying is that speaks loudly to not only the McNairs but the other people around the league. Like, hey, he's fighting even though they're 3-7. He's going out there and giving it all. He's letting his players know that he's there for them even though they're 3-7, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Look, to me, I don't care what coach you are, if you're offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coach, whatever, head coach. To me, the best ones are able to stay consistent
in
good times and in bad. They're that constant, just even keeled personality, whether it be to the media and even to the team behind closed doors. There's a time and place to where you really, if you need to rip into somebody, you rip into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made Augie Garrido one of the greatest college baseball coaches of all time, former UT coach, so great. He was always so in control. And there's a video out there that's just viral. I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, you should go look it up. Just, you can probably Google Augie Garrido rant, right? And Augie Garrido just rips into his team, just rips them a new one after a horrible loss. And then they end up going on to win like 9 or 10 of the remaining games in the Big 12 title and things like that. It's those coaches that are able to remain consistent throughout, always have the players bought in, that when they know they should be getting the absolute best every single time out on the field, and they're not, and they let the players know about it, or if the media, if they feel like the media has done them wrong, and they correct the media, like Weaver did. I mean, that just goes a long way for players. Terrell Adams had this to say about the galvanizing force that is Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, considering the circumstances, he's came straight in and believed in us. That's the biggest thing. He's a positive guy, always been a positive guy since I've been around him. I just love his attitude, his belief in all the players, no matter who you are. The fact that he just constantly believes in us, I think that's the biggest thing. And he's just positivity. He's always trying to make a joke, always trying to make us smile, keep us uplifted, keep us into the game, keep us with everything that's going in, with everything that's going on. Despite the circumstance, he still keeps a positive attitude. And we really appreciate him for that.
And that, to me, is the complete opposite, and you kind of alluded to it this segment earlier, the complete opposite of what the culture was like with Bill O'Brien in-house. I think about it like this. You don't hear about all of the bad and the negative coming out of New England until Tom Brady's on his way out, and, you know, there's change there. You hear about over the last, year or so, how miserable it was in New England, but they were winning, and how it was always a job, and they never had a chance to have fun. You can get by with that when you're winning and when you have that one goal, that one drive, but that one consistent guy that this is business up here. This is how it's been run. This is how it's going to be run. And you're a part of it. It doesn't work in a place that is just not built for it, or you don't have the right captain to steer that ship like Bill O'Brien clearly wasn't, I think. And when I said earlier, where's this been all along? From Anthony Weaver, I'm going to ask the same question to ownership. Where has this been from the ownership? The ownership, the front office by the Houston Texans, they don't speak. They let the negative narrative just survive and grow. And just that seeps through to the organization. Guys are on Twitter. Guys are on social media. Guys talk to the media. Guys talk to, you know, people in their family and friends and fans, and what's being said and what the feeling and the thought is around this team, that can't sit well with guys. And to me, the ownership, this team, the leader of this team, Cal McNair, has had an opportunity to, at least at this point, since many changes have been made and many bad contracts have been handled, and one of the best players, forget receivers, but best pure flat-out players in this league has been traded away for peanuts, and you've said nothing. I think that needs to change.
Well, what do you want them to say? Like, what do you want him to come out and say? We made a mistake, or we shouldn't have traded Hop, or we shouldn't have did this, or it was a bad contract there. Like, what do you want? What do you expect the owner to say? Because a lot of the times, it's like when an owner does speak, it's like, okay, hey, he's doing too much. We don't want him around. Let the football guys do football. Let him just own the team. Now we're in a situation where some things have happened. And you're saying you want the owner to speak, but what do you want him to say exactly?
I'm going to tell you on the other side, because I feel like this fan base deserves a little more transparency, deserves clarity, deserves answers, some kind of non-BS, truthful answers for a team that people pour their heart and soul into for 17, 18 weeks every single season. And I think that goes into the account of the prospective GMs and coaches when they ask themselves, just how valuable and attractive is this job that I'm about to interview for? We'll talk about it next. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for Ron the Show, Hughley, and Clint Sterner. Keep it here at Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Welcome back in. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III, in for Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley today. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to get in, be a part of the show, you can call or text. So Cecil asked me a question last segment. What do I want to hear from Texans owner Cal McNair in regards to the way that this season has gone? And look, I think I'm speaking not just for myself, but I think I'm speaking for many of the fans out there that are probably wondering the same thing. Why exactly have we not heard at least a State of the Union address in terms of how this team is doing, where this team is going? There's certainly been plenty of opportunities to talk about specific things, whether it be contracts, whether it be trades, whether it be firings. There's been a lot that's gone on this season. And specifically in regards to what I want to hear from the Texans owner and Cal McNair is it can be a little bit of window dressing, Cecil. I know that's what we're going to get. I know full transparency does not exist in major sports now. Mm-hmm. And in college sports, it's not there. We're on a need-to-know basis, and right now we're in a situation where we don't need to know. I don't know if we'll ever really need to know. But doggone it, I mean, I want to know because there are people, and especially, you know, the media, so fully invested in this team. I want to hear from the owner just something that it's going to be okay, or this is the reason why that we did this. Like it, love it, it doesn't matter, but this is the reason. What has been allowed to have taken place is the media, rightfully and wrongfully in some cases, spin a negative narrative, and you have been villainized as an organization in many circles. You have been villainized and made the laughing stock nationally this year, where you were being uttered in the same, you know, organizations that have gone through, you know, decades of tumultuous times, like the Cleveland Browns, like the New York Jets, you know, poorly run organizations like that, the New York Giants, you know, like with some of the bonehead decisions they've made over the course of the last decade. That's who you're being talked about with. And I don't like that. And it shouldn't be that way when, for the first time in your franchise's history, you have a quarterback in Deshaun Watson who is a top five, top 10 guaranteed player at his position in the NFL. And people around the league give him his respect. Mm. You have J.J. Watt. You have cornerstone pieces up and down. At least you did. But you traded the best one away in DeAndre Hopkins. And for what? For what? We never knew. All I heard was, hey, well, you know, Bill O'Brien didn't like all the baby mamas that he was bringing around. Or, well, he wasn't a culture fit. Or it was this, that, or the other thing. There's never been anybody to address any of these issues, rumors, or just flat out tell us what the deal was. They let those rumors fester, and it's done the organization a disservice.
Okay. So I kind of disagree with you to the point where I don't think he needs to say too much.
But something, Cecil?
I rather the action be done, right? I'd rather sit there and say, I don't want him to come out and say anything because then that would be held against him. For me, it's like, okay, we made some mistakes. We traded D-Hop. We probably shouldn't have traded him. We made some bad contracts we probably shouldn't have done. We signed this running back we probably shouldn't have signed for that much money, right? Let's make better decisions moving forward. Because I'm not going to sit there. For me, it's like, okay, over the past, since 2002, the Texans came, is that correct? The last 7-8 years, you've been a solid franchise as far as winning games. Would you agree with that? You've been competitive.
Competitive, yes.
You've been competitive. You haven't made too many big splashes. You haven't made too many mistakes. You've just been competitive. Kyle is trying to figure it out. Like, he's trying to figure out a way to get over the hump. And doing what that process of trying to figure out get over the hump, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to not always be the likable person or the likable franchise or the likable guy. But we're not going to make this year and a half
and
take away from everything else. You know what I mean? I just think we need to slow it down a little bit. Look, let Kyle figure this out. Let's see who they bring him as the GM and the head coach and go from there. But I don't want him talking in the media. And I'm not saying you're saying this, but I don't want him in the media like Jerry Jones.
No,
I don't want him in the media like all these other guys.
I agree with that.
Let him figure out what's the best time to do it, and then maybe, like you said, attack it a different way as far as maybe touch on a few subjects. Why this, why that?
But look, you say he's trying to figure it out. You say he's trying to figure it out. I don't know that. I don't think fans know that. I really don't, because, and look, maybe I answered my own question, because having sat back and listened to you explain a little bit more of the situation to me, I can maybe understand why Cal hasn't spoken to the media and has been reluctant to do so. And look, he has. Look, he was on Texans radio, last week?
Yeah. Week or two ago, yeah.
That's been like, what, the second or third time all season long? Maybe not even all season, guys.
But what do you want him to say?
What I want him to say is maybe what he absolutely can't say. Because maybe he's kind of like his, you know, his dad in Bob McNair, who, when he first bought this organization and brought it to the city of Houston, he wasn't a football guy. He didn't know everything there was to know about an organization and how to run it. But what he tried to do is put good people in spots to run that organization.
Mm.
He facilitated all of that, brought it here, hired good people to do that. But initially, look, It was Charlie Casserly. It was Dan Reeves in the search committee. It was why am I blanking on the former defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers? Dom Capers, head coach for the Texans. It was him. Like, there weren't a whole bunch of great decisions. It was Tony Boselli, for crying out loud. There was a whole bunch of really poor decisions made by people that didn't probably deserve to be in the roles that they were in to start this franchise, even 4-8 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a learning process. But here's what I do know. I know Bob McNair poured his heart and soul into it and wanted to learn and tried to learn and did learn more about football and how to run an organization. I mean, just go ask the owners and read stories about people of how highly respected he was because of the way that he handled himself in business and trying to get better. And I don't know that from Cal. I just know that here's a guy who was kind of there all along the way and should probably know more than what he is appears to know right now. But having been a part of an organization for 18, 19, 20 years, and look, again, I go back, maybe he can't say what we all want him to say
right,
because he's not fully invested in the operation of this organization. He just happens to be the COO, the CEO, and that's it. And until I think you're fully invested and you can evolve as an owner, then I don't think your organization can. And that's the part that bothers me.
But his dad didn't evolve in 1 year. It took time, right?
It took time.
It took time for him to figure it out, go talk to other owners, figure out the good people he needed to have in there. And then once they got things rolling, things went pretty well. So we got to give Kyle some time. And it's frustrating. I'm totally with you. But you got to give Kyle some time. You got to let him figure out who's the right guy for the head coach. Who's the right guy for the GM? Should Easterby still be in
but
there?
But it doesn't take time to realize you're making a poor deal for one of the best players in the entire league.
If he's never done it before. If he's never done it before. Or if you put a guy that he thought he could trust. He thought he could trust B.O.B., right? He thought he could trust him. So he was going with what he thought his guy could trust. He thought that was his guy. He's been here. He's been trusting him. He thought that was his guy, and B.O.B. made a mistake, and that's also falls on him. So he has to eat that.
What bothers me is now, look, still, you've been involved with this organization nearly 20 years, okay? You've seen it from afar. You've watched your father run this organization. You know great people that you've entrusted now to help run this organization. There's no doubt about that. Are they all great decisions? No.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be better ones made in the future? Yes, certainly. But the fact that you've entrusted a search firm, you know, to find a head coach, to find a general manager, to do basically a scouring of this organization for you, it does not sit well with me.
To help. I'm sure he'll make the decision off of the data and information that they give him. But he's a part of that process.
And I want to know how much. I think there needs to be some transparency there.
We don't know how much anybody's like. We don't know how much his dad was a part of that. We don't know how much any owner's a part of that, right? So I don't want to hold him to us because we're frustrated, right, as a fan. I totally get it. We love our Houston sports. We want to see that. And you just mentioned it. 3 years ago, Houston was in heaven.
Yeah.
You never thought
you were going to come down from that high.
You never thought, but now we're here with all three teams, right? Now we're here.
Yeah.
We can't just turn and be like, okay, he needs to. No. Let's stay calm. Let's stay patient. Hold your horses, everybody. Hold your horses, Ty. We're going to be all right. We got to figure it out.
Look, I know you're trying to talk, not just me, but it really is a lot of people, many people of this fan base off the ledge.
It is.
And I'm not calling for him to sell a team or anything like that, but because it's a great family. And look, Bob McNair will forever be remembered for being the guy that brought football back to this great city.
Facts.
And that is the most important thing, and the philanthropy that him and his family have been a part of. I mean, it's tremendous. There's no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, Cecil, it's about a football team. Thousands and thousands of people are fully invested in this football team. And you know, to some degree, they want to know, and I think they deserve to know the direction of this organization and why it intends to go there and why certain decisions have been made to almost bring it down to the level that it is right now.
Let me ask you this, because the last statement you said was interesting. So what direction do you think this organization is going?
I don't know, and that's the scariest part. And the fact that you don't know when you have the the franchise quarterback that you've been pining for nearly 20 years, locked up to a very lucrative contract. You have one of the best defensive players that this game has ever seen in its history, still here with a lot of football left in the tank. And by a lot, I mean maybe the next 2, 3, possibly 4 years in J.J. Watt.
Agreed.
And you have a really good collection of talent offensively. I think the coaches are maybe not in place. Like, you don't know if it's coaching, if it's the scheme, if it's the players. These are the things that I want to know. Somebody tweeted something out last week in regards to the lack of talent that is on this football team. Like, it's maybe one of the weakest talented football teams in Houston Texans in recent memory. And I said, no, wait, hold on, man. I feel like if we rewind 9-10 weeks ago and we're looking at this season, you feel pretty dang good about it before everything had happened.
Yeah.
Even after the DeAndre Hopkins trade,
yeah.
There's still a lot of talent here on this football team. I'm not buying that at all. So is it the players? Is it the scheme? Is it good players on a bad scheme? Is it bad players in a bad scheme? What is it? I don't know. We don't know.
So you want to hear that from your owner?
I want to hear that more from my coaches and Anthony Weaver. I want to hear the direction of this football team from my owner. I want to hear that, you know what, we're all in. Our cap looks like absolute hell. I'm going to get on the phone and I'm going to bring Chris Olsen back in because he's been a great capologist for this organization for a decade.
Yeah.
We need help here
because
in 2 years we're going to be paying like five guys 75% of the cap. You need help. Somebody needs to come in and figure this out because we can't pay our quarterback $150 million over the next 3 years to have him play on a 3-4 win football team just so we can get back in good standing in the draft. You didn't wait all of these years for a franchise quarterback and pay him all of that money to suck and rebuild through the draft.
I tell you what, it's literally crazy to me. When I was playing, the Texans were known for their defense and running the football.
Mm-hmm.
And they were waiting for that. And you had Schaub, right? And Schaub was decent, but you were waiting for that franchise turning.
You had 2012 where you had maybe that year where he could get you across and then he gets hurt.
And then now it's like you got the quarterback now. You paid him the money. He is everything that you could ever want in a quarterback. But now it's like, okay, everything else is not up to par to the point where you don't even have a first round or second round pick this year.
Yeah.
And you're 3-7 right now. You know what I mean? So I get the frustration. All I'm saying is, from Kyle McNair, let's just be patient with him. Let's just be patient with him. He's going to figure it out. It's like his dad figured it out, and we had some good years with the Texans. He's going to figure it out, and he's going to get this team to flourish and get back what it does. Now, to be fair, we don't got much time.
Right. The clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking. I'm not going to lie about that. The clock is ticking, but let's be patient. This last year and a half with Kyle, because he didn't officially take over till when. I can't even remember. But it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been 2 years yet. I don't think it's been 2 years yet. So let's be patient. Let him work his magic. Let him figure things out. Let him bring the right people in, because this next head coach and GM is going to be huge for this franchise.
We have a big digital like wall clock in the studio on a flat screen TV. There's a gigantic red second hand. That's the clock ticking. And every time that second hand moves, it's Cal McNair throwing fat stacks
there you go.
Right at Deshaun Watson. Like, here you go. Here you go. Here, oh, hit catch. Boom. There you go. I need dubs, okay? More
They're
than
coming.
3-7.
They're coming.
I need dubs in direction to this football team. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for the show, and Clint Sterner. Coming up next, the Big 3 at 3. Biggest headlines of the day. We'll have them for you next at Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.